Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. We welcome you back, obviously, to Close Up Radio today. It's a Monday. We're still under quarantine in most areas of the country, except on one of the beaches, I think, in Fort Lauderdale. It's interesting. I hope you're coping with this all right. Talking about coping, the coping mechanisms that we've developed to manage our stress may not necessarily apply to new contexts like quarantine. You know, we have to give ourselves the compassion and care we need as we adapt to a new normal, which is what we're all going through at the moment. Our guest today, it's time to welcome her back again, another session with our favorite Dr. Martha Latz. She is a psychotherapist, a life and a relationship coach. She's down in Florida, in Boca Raton, Florida, and we speak with her every week. It's just been a great series of conversations with her. She's the founder of a unique therapy center, and for nearly 30 years, she's provided an emotionally supportive environment to help individuals and their loved ones navigate challenging life transitions. And my goodness, we're in one of them right now. Dr. Latz weaves both traditional and holistic approaches to fully address the whole person, mind, body, and spirit. So anyway, how do we tweak our coping mechanisms to handle what we're going through right now? Dr. Latz says we're all looking for new paradigms. We've been caught off guard by the coronavirus. This is not something that anyone has experienced before. They weren't ready for this. They haven't experienced on the physical level, certainly, but it is translating on the energetic and emotional level. And Dr. Latz says we're all somewhat traumatized by this. It's a horrific event with no parameters around it, but we've also been given an opportunity to write down how we're going to be proactive amid this trauma. That's one of the things you can do, and she'll talk about that in a moment. She says it's a great time for us to start developing our self-compassion. Give yourself that compassion that you're going through something very stressful, and we all really ought to listen to our body because our bodies are working overtime right now. Our minds are working overtime. Our emotions are working overtime. And if they all melt down at the same time, then, yeah, you got a mess on your hands. The mantra that needs to be said over and over again is this is not going to last. It will end. It's in our control. And if it ends sooner rather than later, that means everybody has to be cooperative. Well, just some pointers as we get ready to bring Dr. Latz on the line with us from Boca Raton, Florida. Dr. Martha. Hey, Dr. Martha, good afternoon. Welcome back. It's a delight to have you back with us again. How you doing down there in Florida? Have you been out on the beach, by the way?
No, not out on the beach. It's social distancing. They opened them up on the Panhandle in Jacksonville, and it was mobbed up there. You know, we still need social distancing. So, you know, it's like on the couch with a cooped-up therapist. That's kind of like what it feels like, talking to the people that that are my clients that I talk to and I have seen in office. But it really is a challenging time, and the only thing we can count on in our new normal, Doug, is that change and to be flexible. I mean, we need there's always change and flexibility that's there. But you know, taking a walk in the neighborhood, you know, everybody looks so different with their mask on. We're 6 feet apart, and we're yelling at each other. And you know, and you have to really yell at each other, and you know, just to be heard or just to greet each other. So it's just that part of it is a bit challenging. How about for you?
Yeah, and it's interesting. I said Fort Lauderdale, so it was Jacksonville. That was my mistake about that, where they opened the beaches. It looks like that's been a big success down there, because you're right, the beaches have been packed. And they aren't keeping 6 feet apart. So let's hope it works out all right down there. It's a big test, I guess, right?
I guess it's a big test, but yeah, anyway. We're in the middle of it.
Yep, yes. We sure are. I was going to ask you, do you find that when you go into the supermarkets, I know you mentioned going to the farmers markets kind of situation in Florida, because, you know, everybody grows everything so much down there, and you can find a little farmer's area where they're selling vegetables and whatever, you know, on street corners. But when you walk into the supermarkets down there, do you find it's the same there as you hear everywhere else? You know, paper products are gone. You can't find toilet paper. You can't find, you know, of course, the hand, you know, sanitizer. You can't find that. Is it the same down where you are?
Yes. Oh, yes. Very much so. They also have now a policy that if you buy something and you want to return it, you can't return it. They are not taking anything back. If you, like, you overbought something or you bought the wrong product, you're out of luck. You need to keep it because they're not taking it back because they don't know what's been contaminated, cross-contaminated, and they put it back.
Yeah,
going to the grocery store has proved to be quite an adventure, if you want to look at it that way. You know, mask, gloves, hand sanitizer.
Exactly.
As I went with my husband the other day, we went out to one of the farms, and it's really nice, the farms out here, where the produce is coming in from not only Florida, but from Georgia and North Carolina and some of the other southern states. But they are the ones that supply for the schools and the universities and the hotels and the restaurants. And, of course, they're not having the same amount of product going out, vegetables and that going out. So they've made it really open and have made a really big difference. But I was holding on, and someone says, "What do you got in your hand?" And I said, "My new best friend." And they said, "What is that?" "My hand sanitizer."
There you go.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, you know, it's just been very interesting what all has been changing in this country during this coronavirus quarantine that we kind of are involved in and living through. How about you? I know you see patients all the time in person. Have you been doing phone sessions during the last couple of weeks? How about that?
Oh, yes. Been doing a lot of phone sessions. In fact, I've had other people that have called in out of state wanting to have time with me and talk with me about their life transitions and how their relationships and the communications are not working as well as they wanted to work. Short answer is yes, I've been doing a lot of that since the quarantine has been in place. And it's proved to be a really effective for the people that have availed themselves of that opportunity. So
I've wondered about how many people would be inclined to call, you know, a psychotherapist like you for help. And my guess is they might be older folks. Is that right? Or do you hear from younger folks as well?
I hear from younger folks, too. In fact, the one person
I
was just talking, yes. Some of them are in their mid-30s. A newlywed couple just got married, and they're in their mid-30s, and we've had several phone sessions since the quarantine. I've had other people. I don't have the 20-somethings as much as I do the 28 to the 30s and then the 30s and then on upwards and then, you know, on upward. But I was really surprised, you know, one conversation I had with one person that they were really happy that they weren't in relationship at the moment, that it was a relief to them while they were lonely and in their, you know, in their that they didn't have someone to share this particular time with, they were really particularly happy. Or another person that was in their late 20s said that, you know, they're finally going to get together. They had self-quarantined themselves for 14 days, and this weekend they were going to be able to get back together in their living situation. So it's been very interesting to see how people are beginning to manage this, how the quarantining and what they're looking for, and the different stress levels that people have experience. But to answer your question, yes, I get it. I get younger people as well as older people as well as middle people.
Little people, okay.
Yeah, little okay. people. I have someone who okay. I have someone who called about their grandchildren, and I found that Disney. I'll just pass this on. Disney is yeah. offering from till the end of April of a bedtime hotline. You can call in, and the number is 1-877-764-2539, and you can call in and have your favorite character talk to you before you go to bed. So even us oldsters might want to hear from Donald Duck before we go to bed.
How about that?
It's free. You know, your favorite characters, it's free until...
Or Mickey Mouse.
Or Mickey Mouse or Minnie
yeah,
Mouse.
Mickey, I mean, Mickey would be the one, yeah.
Mickey would be Minnie, yes.
Some of the characters from Beauty and the Beast or whatever. Well, listen, let me ask you a question. You suggest people write some things down. You have come up with what you call the three C's, and they're all wrapped around this coronavirus issue. Talk to me about that. What are the three C's?
Well, you know, the three C's I think are very important. You know, the first C is common sense. You know, we have to have common sense here. We're getting all kinds of information from all over the area, all over the place. Some saying let's open, let's not open, you know, whatever. But have common sense for yourself and for your family. And then, you know, then if you have common sense, you're going to go into compassion. You're going to be compassionate towards your partner or towards your whoever is quarantining with you at the time. So you're going to have compassion for each other. And then there's the big thing is when we're here, we have common sense, we're being compassionate towards each other. Are we courteous? You know, please and thank you. You're welcome. You know, go a long way when, you know, even though we're in our surroundings, and it seems like our surroundings like shrink and shrink the longer we're in quarantine. So courtesy is very important. And, you know, then there's a fourth one that has come out of some of the sessions that I've had with some of my clients, and it's being content. Now, you know, that sounds like, how can I be content, you know, in a situation like this? And it sounds counterintuitive when you think about it. But being content means letting go of what we think life was supposed to be like or is supposed to be like and what it should be and accept it for what it is now. It's not going to stay this way forever, but accept it for now and looking that we're going to go hopefully into what the next, because our normal right now is anything but normal. And then I tacked on to the end of that two P's and two S's. The two P's are prayer and pause. If you don't really pray, you may just want to pause and look at something beautiful or think of something beautiful. And the two S's are social distancing and sanitizing. So we have the four C's.
That's good.
I mean, you know, so it's like four C's, two P's, and two S's. So it's, you know, for me, when I have that in the back of my mind, you know, I can finally arrange that for myself. And people have said that they have found that really helpful, you know, as they start moving towards possibly having an emotional meltdown. And we're all entitled to having emotional meltdown in this period. You know, 5 minutes, you know, allow yourself 5 minutes emotional meltdown and not taking anything personally, but being able to express some stuff. So does that answer your question about the C's for the corona?
Yeah, very much so. I have another question that you also have. Another three letters that you put together called KAT. What is KAT? Cat.
KAT.
You're good at that.
Oh, yeah, I know, and it's not our furry little friends, but the K for is know when you need a timeout. know that you need a timeout, so you're able to know that. And then the A is ask for the timeout. I know I need a timeout. I'm asking for a timeout. You know, I need some private time. I need some time alone. I need to think about some things. I don't need to think about anything. Don't ask me a question. And then the T is take the timeout, but take it. A lot of times we know we need a timeout. We've asked for a timeout, but we don't take it. This time, take it. So you can embrace this space that this timeout is giving you. So that it's much needed. It can be a personal timeout, or it can be a professional timeout, since a lot of us are working from home, or it can be a combination of both.
So I can see that being so valuable, especially when you're a mom and a dad and you're home and you got three or four kids and you're trying to figure out how to handle them, and they're young. Parents need time out from situations like that. So they have to figure out how to get it individually, right?
Well,
I mean, it seems to me they do.
Everybody can do it, you can do a group timeout. I mean, you can make it something like a group timeout, too. Okay, we need a group timeout. Or how about with KAT, putting in recess? When was the last time you thought about recess? When we were in school, even when the children are in school, if you have children that are quarantining with it and it's a whole family, they get recess. Are you thinking about recess, that more of a structure? Even though we push against, we don't like structure and routine, we always push against it. Structure and routine is what we all crave, especially now.
Another thing is people, and they feel safe at their home, and they're told to be so careful when you go out, keep distance, wear a mask, et cetera. But anyway, the bottom line is you wake up in the morning, and so often people really don't know what they're going to do with themselves that day. They haven't made plans, and it can be very disturbing to them. What kind of suggestion do you have for folks in that kind of situation?
Well, planning is planning. I'm going to back into that. We do a lot of stuff outside of the house. Just regular. We work outside of the house. Maybe we're semi-retired and we're working out of the house, or we go visit friends, or we're out of the house. And when we come home, our home is where we don't really have to have a lot of planning. Are you following me with that? Because we're home, we know what we're going to be doing. But now that we're home all the time, and when we have projects, and, some of us have projects like paint projects in the house that we're painting, or we're doing some sort of fix-up, you have people in and out of the house. Now we have to do the planning for ourselves now. And sometimes it may be helpful to think about small things, not large things. Don't say I'm going to tackle the entire garage or the attic or the basement or the closets, the two closets where we've you would get this Fibber McGee's closet where you open up and there's just a ton of stuff coming out.
You're going back.
Oh, man, am I going back. Woo!
You're going way back.
Yeah, my dad.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Molly.
That's
My dad, my stepdad really liked that. And when things were getting crazy, like there was just a lot of mess around, he would talk about that this is not Fibber McGee's closet. So, let's straighten up here. Let's pick up here. So I think that, taking smaller projects, and as I have suggested to the people that I talk to, let's do a smaller project. Don't do a big project. Do something that that once it's done, even if it's just picking up and going through all of the piled up to-do reads. I have to-do reads piled. sort through them and say, you know, I've read them or I've not read them. These are a keeper or not a keeper. Something that you can do and have some success. Not large projects.
I'm also thinking about how people who have loved ones who are parents, for example, in nursing homes, and they can't get in to see them because they won't allow them to visit inside the nursing homes, and they're worried about them, and maybe they can go by and see them through a window and wave at them. That's got to be pretty traumatic for folks, and a lot of people are experiencing that right now. I was just wondering, do you hear from folks, you know, in that kind of situation at all? And how do you recommend that they, you know, cope with that, their constant worry?
Well, you know, that's the tragedy of this, is that, you know, when we're going through something as traumatizing as what we're going through, our first inclination is to go to get closer to our family members, to reach out to, you know, go for our parents and go to, you know, if our parents happen to be alive and our older relatives. And that's usually because they're sort of like a touchstone for us. People are developing ways that they can do this. They've established more phone contact with their parent if they happen to be in a living facility or an assisted living facility. But then you have the parents that have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and you can't really talk to them, and you have to have a visual. And that's the tragedy of this. Unless you have a relationship with the healthcare and the caregivers at these different places, that they can kind of do a Snapchat, let you see a photograph, it's really, really difficult because everybody's overworked and understaffed. And we have to be so cognizant of that. This is like a work in progress, Doug. I'm trying to figure it out and help people figure that out now. And I don't really have something firm in my head other than, you know, make the phone calls, you know, one phone call, one email, one text, one card, you know, every day if that's what you need to do to make that connection. Someone had said to me that they had started sending cards to their parent, their elderly parent, and they took nurse's aide went into the room and took a picture, and all of the cards are all over the walls. Got them all over the wall. So, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, this is a work in progress. Would love to hear from other people what they've been doing.
It is tough. As you pointed out, you have to give yourselves the grace and attention, even late, and permission to be angry and upset at things like this that you might be experiencing. Because if you're not allowing yourself to express your anger or your fear, they can express themselves in, as you put it, non-productive and potentially violent ways. And you don't want that to happen.
It is true, and that's where, you know, allowing yourself to ask for the time out. Okay, I'm in overload right now. I'm in emotional overload. I feel helpless. I can't do what I would normally do. If you're a problem solver, you know, you just go right to the problem solving. But you can't problem solve this quickly. You can't. Everybody's looking at that. But being able to say, I'm angry, I'm upset, you know, I'm frustrated, I can't do what I normally do, it's good to be able to express it, because when I talk about it, unproductive manners, that's when you think about people do binge eating. They do online shopping, and they shop till the computer times them out, or the website times them out, or they're looking at things that they wouldn't normally be looking at because they're bored, whether it's more porn, whether it's just going and looking at conspiracy theories, something that's not helpful. People are gambling more online. So, you know, being able to say, you know, I'm angry and I can't do anything about this, and taking the time out and seeing what happens and not doing some of the non-productive behaviors. So.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, you have many different services you offer your clients, and I know it's different right now. You deal with individuals and couples and family members. You deal with people going through life transitions. This is not a life transition period we're in the moment. I wouldn't call it. I'm intrigued by one of the services you offer. It's called Rapid Resolution Therapy. Define that for me. What do you mean by that?
Rapid resolution is there's an issue. Let's take the issue. I've started dating someone, and I got traumatized by something that was either said or that occurred on a date, or I was traumatized by my work situation, and so we look at it that it had happened. But it's not happening now. That's the rapid part of it. It had happened to you, not negating that it had happened. But it's not happening now. Okay? While this may feel similar, because I've just had a couple of people that had some of their old trauma raised back because of this issue, it had happened. It's not happening now. It may feel like it's similar, or it may feel like it's the same, but it's not. So we look at all parts of that. We look at the similarity of the trauma, and then we look at what's different about this trauma. And so instead of cementing it and letting it all come together as one big trauma and more stress and more anxiety and more panic, we can look at, okay, you got through and you've managed the past trauma, if it's a reoccurring, if it's a trauma that's resurrected at this time. And now what we can do now, or if it's a brand new trauma, we'll look at it had happened, but it's not happening now. So what can we do to make you feel or help you feel safe that it's not reoccurring over and over again.
Well, that's a good explanation. That's a very good explanation. And I understand, you know. And there are people who need that kind of help at certain times when they've gone through a traumatic experience. They need rapid resolution therapy. That's a good term for what you're doing.
Yes.
Well, anyway, Dr. Latz, we've run out of time again. I love chatting with you. You've got such insight on so many things. It's just a delight to talk to you. We've been talking with Dr. Martha Latz. She's with us Mondays at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Eastern Daylight Time here on Close Up Radio. And you'll be back again next week. So, Dr. Latz, thank you for being with us so much and giving us all your carefully thought out insight. It's a blessing to hear from you. Okay. We enjoy it.
Thank you so much, Doug. You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
You are very welcome indeed. Thank you.
Continue to be.
Hope you enjoyed this, everybody. Okay. That'll do it for today. And I must point out, we have some of the most remarkable guests on radio anywhere. And you can find us right here on Blog Talk Radio at Close Up Radio. Join us every day because we have great guests all the time. So thanks for being with us. I'm Doug Llewellyn, and we will see you next time right here. Until then, take care of yourself, folks. Take care of yourself, really. You need to right now.
Listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.